radio, and the internet.
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million-dollar interstellar media broadcast communications studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we appreciate you joining our program here. Now, my partner, Mr. Hartman, is one of the nation's top trial attorneys, and he's argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the founder and CEO of Ignition Consulting, serving business, education, and nonprofit clients throughout the United States.
Now, each week, Jim and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system
and inject some common sense and perhaps a sense of humor back in.
So a requirement for listening to this program is that you have common sense and a sense of humor. That leaves us an audience of four.
Well, yeah, and then if they want real humor, they'll leave.
We're down to nothing. What the heck? We've been in the basement for so long.
I've been talking to myself for so many years, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter anymore. I don't mind talking to myself, but I hate the stupid answers back, you know? Anyway, well, now, each week, of course, we answer questions from our loyal listeners across the country. And even if you're not such a loyal listener, but you have a good question, we'd love you to send that to us. And you need to do that by sending it to info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, @lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And we'll be happy to answer those on the very next show. And if you want to learn a little bit more about Lawyers Who Needs Them and our sordid past, you can do that by going to the official website of Lawyers Who Needs Them, lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. So that's not too hard. So there we have it. And now, without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Now, it's really boiling because it's hot down there in Arizona, but the immigration law is headed for the ultra-liberal U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. Now, those are those crazy people that have had more things overturned after they vote on them.
Well,
what is that going to do?
Well, it's going to, it's going to obviously, they themselves, that is when I say they, the people in favor of the immigration law.
The people of Arizona.
And the people of Arizona and the politicians and public servants there who pass it say, well, with the Ninth Circuit, it probably won't be resolved until it gets to the United States Supreme Court, to which court it no doubt will go because it's an important issue and it involves a state. And, state legislation, which is the constitutionality of which is being questioned. Now, the thing is that although this court is considered the most liberal, and indeed it is, there's very little doubt about it, it does have some conservatives on. And if you get a panel with the conservatives, there is a possibility that the result would be different from what we predict. And frankly, most people are predicting that they'll overturn the law.
Right.
Or they will, well, of course, they'll sustain that portion of the law which the federal judge has blocked, and they may even get rid of more because, like the searching and asking for your papers and profiling and all of that. So you have to, the judge is, after all, has already...
he's neutered it a little bit.
Well, yeah, quite a bit because, in the sections that require officers to check a person's immigration status has been blocked, required immigrants to carry papers. And also, it is illegal for undocumented workers to solicit employment in public places. That was knocked out. So, I think. So, what it is a situation in which the appellate court is going to consider what the federal judge knocked out as well as what he kept, because there'll probably be cross situations there. The opponents of the law say that the law would lead to racial profiling and is trumped, as they say, by the federal immigration laws. And whether that is so or not, and whether the federal courts have exclusive jurisdiction or the federal government has exclusive jurisdiction over immigration, in my mind, is somewhat doubtful. They say the Constitution precludes states from handling anything to do with immigration.
What does the Constitution actually
say? But it actually says in that Section 8 of Article 1.
Refer to your pocket constitutions,
ladies and gentlemen. Giving the Congress certain powers, and it says that the Congress shall have power to establish an uniform rule of naturalization and uniform rules for other. Doesn't say anything about immigration.
No, it doesn't.
And obviously, you can't have 50 states saying who would be a citizen of the United States because it's a citizenship of the federal government. So there, they're correct, but I see no reason why a state cannot pass legislation concerning people who are within that jurisdiction illegally.
Right.
I mean, it's not a question of immigration laws. All of these laws, frankly, haven't been enforced by the federal government.
Exactly.
That's why,
right. That's
Arizona
why we have this problem.
Took the step it did.
Right.
And, like a lot of other things, the federal government has been asleep or mostly stealing or doing other things, other than run a country.
Right.
So these people were exasperated by the fact that, because we here in the Northeast and perhaps in the Midwest and so forth don't realize what the problem is on that border.
That's right.
We live near the Canadian border.
Right.
And, of course, there's no such a thing. I mean, even though stuff comes over that
right.
border.
But we don't have any
But they
problems.
Don't have shooting going on and,
no.
and marijuana and drug cartels
nope, just
running
booze.
Into well,
just booze.
A little booze.
Didn't you bring some booze across
I
last week?
I brought some duty-free booze.
Yes, you
because
did.
I felt it was my duty to bring booze. And it was my duty.
Which
it was
nice.
Duty-free, but not free of my duty to pay attention
to the
to
booze.
The booze.
Now, I noticed that duty-free booze that made it across the bridge
right.
did not make it to the studio.
No.
You must have sipped it along the way.
Well, the border, it doesn't matter. We don't want to get too
right.
involved in that.
Right,
but
this isn't
a
travel show.
They are pretty careful now.
Oh,
absolutely. It's a long way to customs and
right.
everything like that.
And had you not worn that turban, they would have let you cross without any problems.
Right. That's true. And would you believe it, there was a guy in the car I saw in a couple of rows next to me with a turban that would knock your head off. This guy, he looked like a Maharaja or something.
So, yes, he wanted to go across incognito, so he just wore the turban.
They'll search the valves in his tires
right.
when he goes over there.
All right, well, let's
look at it.
Well, that's the problem we have. And listen, we had a quote from the governor when she said that she was told that this might go all the way to the Supreme Court, and she said,
I'll be back.
And she's not kidding.
She will be.
Right. All right. Well, let's take a look at what else is going on in the world today. Is that okay, or do you have more to say on this topic?
No, I think that...
you've exhausted
I think that I'm exhausted, and
so's the topic
is exhausted, and the audience is exhausted.
We're going to follow it, though.
Yeah.
We have our court reporter.
We'll try to keep people posted
on
what's going on, but there'd be quite a while before the appellate court.
That's why we sent our sports reporter, because we don't cover sports in general.
Right.
Sometimes we do, but in this case, we freed him
up. He doesn't cover it very well either, so we sent him to a court.
That's right.
Which makes less sense than sports.
But he's perfectly happy there.
That's right.
And his name is Crash Dugenhausen, and we'll hear from him from time to time. Anyway, pundits say that the Supreme Court under Justice Roberts is perhaps the most conservative in decades.
Well,
now,
that's what they
different.
Say. That's interesting. Because,
now, what do you think about that?
Well, it's probably, I don't know about decades, but it certainly has taken a conservative turn. And although it was, conservative under Rehnquist when he was the Chief Justice, too, but it has taken a conservative turn, and although some say it's the most conservative one in living memory. Well, my memory goes back, and I'm still
300 years.
I'm still living, right?
That's right.
My memory may be dead, but I'm here. But in this case, the memory has to be living, not the person.
Right.
But in living memory, it's a very conservative court. Now, the fact that Elena Kagan, who will probably be confirmed,
the next judge,
is very liberal. She's not going to change the complexion of the court because the court is four conservatives and one swing vote.
Right.
And so she's replacing a liberal, Stevens, who was the most liberal of the court. And, so that's not going to affect the court. It will still retain whatever bent it has at this time, which is probably conservative. But you see, it was, when they say, someone said it was a very, the court has done something more radical in a sense for all these years, that's not so, because when the Roosevelt, and Franklin, of course,
yes,
legislation was starting to get sustained by the Supreme Court, that was very shocking. to many people, and the court had taken a situation since then. But although they say there are reasons for what this conclusion that it's the most conservative, number one, it says in the first 5 years, Roberts Court issued conservative decisions 58% of the time, and in the term beginning ending a year ago, the rate rose to 65%.
Just as it should be.
Well, four of the six most conservative justices of the 44 who have sat on the court since 1937 are serving now. The Roberts Court is finding laws unconstitutional, reversing precedent, but that's been going on for 200 years.
Right.
And until she retired in 2006, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor was often the court's swing vote.
Right.
That has gone over to Kennedy, and this pundit thinks that Kennedy is more conservative than Sandra Day O'Connor, so that the court has taken that. So we'll have to watch and see, and if that's the case, Roberts is only 55 years old. He's got a long life ahead of him on the court, and, you know, many of them serve into their dotage. Many were in their dotage at age 40 when they went
right.
on the bench.
Right.
And so he will be on that court for a long time. However, we don't know what the next judges will be appointed or who will leave and so forth.
Now, you argued before the Supreme Court, and right. there were a few in their dotage then. In fact, yeah. wasn't one of them asleep because
he wasn't.
The excitement of your argument?
No. Hey, no. That happens all the time. I wouldn't call anybody in the dotage because of that.
Okay.
Juries have slept through many of my arguments. thank God. Sometimes they came up with the right answer.
Despite
if they, if they heard me, it would be murder. So anyway.
Well, we hope you you out there don't cut off on Mr. Hartman's closing arguments here. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. We're going to take a short intermission and be right back. Don't touch that dial.